Yeah, well, I'm going to talk about praise. So, aren't we lucky to have Brody to lead us in worship like that? He's great. Well done. He's got a great heart for worship. I want to talk about the centrality of praise. Now, we are encouraged by Jesus to ask. We said, if my son asked for a loaf of bread, would I give him a stone? But there's something much more central and important in our relationship with God, and that is the centrality of praise. Ephesians 5:19-20 says, sing and make music in your heart to the Lord. Well, we've been doing that. We make music through our voice, but the way in which our heart engages that is so important. Always, and this is a cliche, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I want to unpack that a bit as we think about it this morning. The idea that we thank God for everything is a little bit mind-blowing, but I want to suggest that this is a secret to the way in which we relate to God. 1 Thessalonians 5:16-18 says, be joyful always, pray continually, give thanks to God in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Now, also, it's a pretty tall order, said, be joyful always. Does that mean you've got to constantly be happy? Actually, what it means is be constantly aware of the joy that you have in being saved by Jesus. Pray continually, and I'd say very often I do pray continually. I mean, you don't have to set aside a time for prayer. But be in touch with God. You know, St. Ignatius said, if everything that's directed at God is prayer, and so we can pray continually, can pray all the time, but the key thing here, I think, is give thanks to God in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Now, it is God's will that we give thanks and praise, but the circumstances, have we thought about the fact that they are God's will too? I want to think about that as we go on. Now, let's recap that centrality of praise. Be joyful always, pray continually, give thanks to God in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Now, this is the way God made us. We're designed to live to the fullest by giving to the fullest. That's another one of my little obsessions. But praise doesn't just glorify God, it expands the horizon of our life. I want you to think about that. This is why praise is so important. This is why God created us for his praise, because it expands our life. Praise is our openness to God, to each other, and to the future. And I can't emphasize this enough. Praise empowers us as we praise God and give thanks. Now, I want to suggest the 5-95 rule, and that is life is 5% what happens to us and 95% the way we react to it. So think about how important it is to react to life with praise, with thanks to God for all that he's given us, but also thanks to God for this situation I'm in, that's where I'm meant to be. I had occasion this morning to put this into practice when I woke up. I've got a bad cough. It's raining. We have to drive down to Sydney. But I just said, well, this is an opportunity to thank you, Lord, for this because I know that you're teaching me something through it. And lo and behold, the weather became great as we drove down. And I might not have even noticed if I hadn't praised him. But I think it's an important thing to remember. In most of us, I suppose, fall into the trap of going through life thinking, you know, that life is what happened to me. You know, life is events, but life is the way we respond to those events. I think that's incredibly important. Now, there's power in praise. Romans 8:28, and we know that all things, in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. Now, the Passion Translation says, so we are convinced that every detail of our lives is continually woven together for good, for we are his lovers who have been called to fulfill his designed purposes. That's a big call when you think of it. We are being called to fulfill his designed purposes. Now, the overall purpose is that he meant for us to be holy. And the way in which he achieved that, of course, was through the death of Jesus. Now, this is, I've had talks with other Christians. They find this really hard to get hold of. Because of Jesus, we are holy. We are set apart for God. And it doesn't mean we're perfect, doesn't mean we're good or because only God is good, but we are holy because God intended it to be that way. Through Jesus, therefore, says Hebrews, let us continually offer to God a sacrifice of praise, the fruit of lips that confess his name. Now, as you know, Hebrews was responding here to the sacrifice, the traditional sacrifice of Israel, of fatted calf, of sheep, all kinds of living sacrifice. And this was completely done away with in the new covenant, the covenant of grace, right? Through Jesus, let us continually offer to God a sacrifice of praise. So our sacrifice now is praise. We praise him continually. We give thanks. We give thanks for all things, even when they hurt. Now, I want to try something. I want everyone to think right now about something you're worried about, something that is getting you down, something that's happened that doesn't fit into your view of the way your life should be. Now, give God praise in that. Praise in that situation. I try this myself, you know, and it's amazing what God brings up. I praise him because in that situation, that relationship with that person, that circumstance, the thing that happened, is all part of God's plan for me. It's part of who I am and where I stand in the world now. You see, we're a chosen people, says Peter, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God. Again, Peter's responding to that Old Testament idea that you sacrifice animals, and that the priesthood is the one through whom you get to reach God. Sadly, some denominations today still operate that way, that we reach God through the priesthood. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood. Every one of us here is a priest. We're a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Now, this is why praise is God's plan and purpose for us. He called us out of darkness into his marvelous light, and to give him the praise is not only something that confirms that, but it confirms the fact that we're in the light. Remember that the praise we give to Jesus, to God throughout our life, is underwritten by a fundamental miracle, and that is the miracle of salvation. Every one of us stands on the basis of that miracle. Jesus died so that we might live. He did away with the old covenant, and we live now in the covenant of grace. So, but let's look at a few Old Testament readings, because I want to think about our relationship with God, you know. Now, God in Genesis saw all that he had made, and it was very good. I want us to think about what that means. Everything that God has made is good. Now, we can misuse his creation. We can misuse what is made, but it is good because he has made it. And a verse that I love in the Psalms, I love it in the Revised Standard Version. But you are holy, you inhabit the praises of Israel. God inhabits our praise. You know, there's that, the words of that song we sing, it's your breath in our lungs as we call out our praise. We call out our praise, it's your breath. And that theological term of this is co-inherence. God is in us, and through his presence in us, we praise him. It completes a circuit of praise that acknowledges not only God's goodness and his greatness, but our own life, our own necessity for him. As Jeremiah says, for as a belt is bound round a man's waist, so I bound the whole house of Israel and the whole house of Judah to me, declares the Lord, to be my people for my renown and praise and honour. But they haven't listened. But I want to suggest exactly the same thing is happening through the death of Jesus. Jesus has bound us like a belt around his waist to be the people for his renown and his praise. And I think it's an amazing thing that we complete that sacrifice that Jesus made. You know, he didn't make it just off the cuff. This was always intended to be, because he loves us. And that love is worth endless praise. Now, David's praise, after David defeated the Philistines at Baal Perazim and installed the ark in Jerusalem, this was a huge thing for Israel at the time. He said, give praise to the Lord, proclaim his name, and make known among the nations what he has done. Sing to him, sing praise to him, tell of all his wonderful acts, glory in his holy name. Let the hearts of those who seek the Lord rejoice. Look to the Lord and his strength. Seek his face always. Remember the wonders he has done, his miracles and the judgments he pronounced. Now, you know, the whole of Psalms is really about praise. It's a book of praise. And this particular praise can be found in Psalms as well. But David is absolutely smitten with the beauty of God, and his praise is the absolutely foundational to the way he relates to God. So what are the elements here? Give praise, give thanks. Give thanks to God. Sing praise to him. glory in his holy name, seek his face always, remember what he's done. Now that line, seek his face, I was thinking this morning about, I love to see the work of God's hand. I love to see people healed supernaturally. I love to see the work of the Spirit. But God calls us to stand in his presence and look on his face. That is the greatest miracle of all, to be able to do that. So we glory in his holy name, we seek his face always, just as. Now, we all know the story of Job. This is the Bible's biggest loser. In Job, Sabaeans attacked and slaughtered Job's stock and servants. The fire of God fell and burned up Job's sheep and servants. The Chaldeans stole Job's camels and slaughtered his servants. His house collapsed, and your sons and daughters are all dead, a messenger came to him. At this, Job 1, 20 to 21, Job got up and tore his robe, shaved his head, and then he fell to the ground in worship and said, "Naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked I will depart. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. May the name of the Lord be praised." Now, the thing that we can learn from this is this. There are many times in our life when we grieve. There are times when we're hurt. There are times when we suffer. But naked we came into the world, and naked we go into God's presence. We're all going to die, and that's going to be great. Might not seem like it, but it's going to be the fulfillment of God's purpose in creating us. But in the meantime, life is meant to be enjoyed, because God is in a very good mood, and he wants us to enjoy life. Now, the way in which we enjoy life is to respond to life with praise and thanks. Praise and thanks, because God, this is where I'm meant to be at this time in my life. So another great verse, of course, is Habakkuk 3:17-18. "Though the fig tree doesn't bud, and there are no grapes on the vines, though the olive crop fails, and the fields produce no food, though there are no sheep in the pen, and no cattle in the stalls, yet will I rejoice in the Lord. I'll be joyful in God my Saviour." And really, that is what Paul is talking about in Thessalonians and Ephesians and Corinthians, rejoicing in the Lord because he made us. And whatever happens, the way in which we respond to it determines for us what life is. And so for Habakkuk, life was, whatever happened, life was praising God and giving thanks. Now, I want to think about the power in praise. And just finally, where does this power come from? There's power in praise. Now, you might know a book that affected me some time ago by Merlin Carruthers called The Power in Praise. And what he says is that the praise is not just giving thanks to God. Praise is acknowledging God's sovereignty at every moment of your life. That whatever happens to you is meant to be, and even if there's, like Job, everything collapses and crashes, nevertheless, we will rejoice in the Lord. See, praise empowers us by releasing God's power into our circumstances. He inhabits our praises. I want just think about that. He's not up there somewhere a long way away as we praise him. God inhabits our praises. That's an amazing thing. Praise proclaims that everything in my life is exactly where it should be at this moment. No matter how bad this thing, at this moment, praise sets my eyes on the big picture. So I don't want to dismiss or trivialise those things that we experience that are hurtful, that are grieving. The thing is to look beyond it at the big picture. I don't praise God for this thing in spite of it. I don't praise him just to get him to change it. I don't praise him for what I expect will happen, but I praise him for who he is and where I am right now. So we praise God because he holds us in his hand, and whatever happens to us, the way we respond to it is through praise. And no matter the storm, when you're with God, there's always a rainbow waiting.